Yay!
You're looking at pornography.
I am. I'm looking at pornography.
Oh, my goodness.
So I received my copy of Sweet Sting by Ontodoxy.
Yes, and it's Judy.
It's like 60 pages or something of Judy being banged in every possible way. It was a comic that he ran on his Patreon, which was probably leaked out and posted somewhere, but he did a fundraiser for a print edition of it on Indiegogo. He wanted $2,000. The fundraiser ended up raising $10,660. So lots of people wanted to see his comic. I basically just bought it because, like, I like Onta stuff generally, and I was like, let's check this out. I haven't actually read the comic because I haven't read it online.
Lots of high quality content.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
There's lots of content. Yeah.
So, welcome to Southpaws, episode 453, The Human Centrist Peed. I am Saverin.
I am Horny. I mean, I am Fuzzwolf.
And we are recording back at Fuzz's place this week because we are now a little less than 2 weeks from Fiesta. 2 weeks from now, I will be setting up
the... Oh, God, this is Otterton.
What the... Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, my God. Ah!
Yeah, so that... Looking at the Fuzz show me, and he was kind of like, Jesus Christ, that just distracted me. So 2 weeks from now, yeah, I'm going to be setting up the gaming room at Furry Fiesta. You'll be setting up the vendor table. Shiva will be flipping out and corralling vendors. So, yeah, this week and next week, and then the week after that, it's Furry Fiesta. So, holy crap, it's coming up fast. And, you know, in the world of politics, too, life comes at you fast.
Mm-hmm.
We're now, you know, I just have to say it is pretty embarrassing, Fuzz. Bernie's only won 2 out of 50 states so far.
Yeah, he should just drop out.
Should he just drop out?
Yeah, I mean, there's no point at this point.
Come on, man. Like, you've only gotten 2 and only Iowa and New Hampshire. Those are tiny states. Who the fuck cares about those, right?
Mm.
You know,
I wish we cared about them less, but yeah.
Yeah. man, our political system is diseased. We have to make everything as difficult as possible.
America was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. Like, we look back and go, wow, that sure was, you know, in the beginning, God created mankind and everybody's regarded that as a poor choice. The line from Hitchhiker's Guide that I've mangled and I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's actually the universe came into being or something.
Yeah,
like,
and
but, yeah.
People largely view this as a bad thing.
Yeah.
But... you know, before we get into the meat of the political things, I have to say that I've survived a PonyCon.
Da, da, da.
And, you know, Jesus Christ, the bronies, man. Like, so I've said
so
in the past,
like, everything's gotten great since you left, right? Like, they've really taken a stand on kicking out all the shitty people. It is all wholesome. It's all friendship and love and everything now, right? It's, like, even better than furry.
Oh, wrong. No. So, this last weekend was...
I love that you couldn't even roll with faking it. You're just like, oh, wrong.
Honestly, so I was at HarmonyCon last weekend. Mm-hmm. My parents were vending. A couple friends of mine are vending. I know a bunch of people. They're helping them on staff. These be my staff.
Right.
But because of my experiences in the fandom, like legit CPTSD, I was... just not in a great spot while I was there. Like, I made a tweet. I was like, I'm at the BronyCon. I'm at the Panic Attack Factory. I'm at the combination BronyCon and Panic Attack Factory. Took a photo of my watch where my pulse had spiked to like 136 or something while just being out amongst the crowd of people.
Damn.
And I countered this by going and literally saying to one of my vendor friends, hey, you need a bathroom break? Go take a bathroom break. And I hid behind their table for the 10 minutes it took them to wander off, do their business, and come back. And I felt better because I had that barrier between me and the brony horde.
And we were talking about this, and like a vendor table is a powerful psychological barrier.
Yeah. It's like they're here to give me money. But I don't have this problem. I've never had the problem at AnimeCon. I certainly don't have them at furry cons, but brony cons, man.
Well, when you've had literal death threats from a community, that's, you know, it's not just fun internet bullshit. Like, when you're the chair of a convention, you're going to be in a particular building for a particular 3 days of the year. Like, that's an actionable danger. Yeah.
And so I thankfully, you know, parked along the backside where you can just kind of come and go. And I literally just came and went as I needed to. Mm-hmm. Like Friday, I helped them open up. I was there for a few hours and I was like, all right, I've had enough. And I left. And then Saturday, was there for a little bit, made a run to Fort Worth for my parents, mm-hmm. and then came back for a little bit. And then we went, I took them and we had a dinner at Heart Eight, which was really nice.
That's cool.
And then Sunday, like, I was there before noon to drop off a charity auction item and then left and then came back to help them tear down at, like, 4. Yeah. So I really minimized my time there, and that was really the only way I would have wanted to have done that convention.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, my parents were okay with their sales, and the people that were vending had a pretty good time. They grew by, like, 100 attendees, which is kind of weird when you think about it. They actually did cut back on the number of Dokamakuras this year. Like, last year, there were, like, 6 vendors that had them, and this year, none of them were allowed to have them. They made a policy change.
Jesus.
Though there was still one vendor who was selling a shirt that was freshly glazed ponuts, which was a shirt that had a bunch of donuts that are colored, that are frosted on the top in the colors of various ponies.
Right.
And to explain, it's basically ponut is a short term for shorthand term for horse buttholes.
Yeah.
So it's just undisputably horny shirt. And then that very same vendor also had a Higo shirt. The, you know, the mm-hmm. shirts that have, like, the anime girls with O-faces
yeah.
on them. Except this time it was ponies from My Little Pony.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tasteless. And the person that bought it was this, like, 98-pound twiggy white boy with a MAGA hat. So, like, just incredibly emblematic of everything I loathe about that community.
Mm.
That being said, my parents are okay with it. Vendors anyway make money. And I didn't have to be there the whole weekend. And I don't have to potentially engage with them until next year.
Yeah.
So I survived it, but I keep trying. It's like, oh, no, I'm just faking it. Or not faking it, just kind of doubting the
Doubting yourself.
Doubting myself on the actual psychological impact of just being around this particular fandom has on me.
Right.
Like, I can go to the Londoner and talk to my friends and have no problem, but when the HarmonyCon kids show up and they want to start telling me about the bullshit they're having to deal with from the community, that'll cause a fucking panic attack because it is pony bullshit at the Londoner. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the pony bullshit at the Londoner. I just want to be there with my friend, talk about, you know, whatever, swap porn and drink beer. But when it yeah. comes to pony shit, I can't fucking do it. And, like, the Crown Plaza by itself, no problem. But you slap a horde of bronies in there, not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has been psychological vulnerability time with Saverin because they just went through a weekend that they had to face this head on and yeah. mitigate it best they could. But I was also talking to vendors and me, like, you should totally come to, like, furry cons now. The ride is ending. You need to become a furry.
You were actively recruiting.
I was actively recruiting from a number of vendors.
This is the future the socialists want. Or
the future is now, young woman. Because they're younger than me. But they already do stuff that's like Pokemon and other stuff. And I'm like, you just need to come over to the furry side. Start vending a furry con.
Draw more Pokemon. Make them horny.
You don't even have to make them horny, but just like...
Make them horny.
Yeah, you should make them horny.
I mean, not to make more money or less money or anything, just because it's fun.
Yeah, but
make them horny.
They were like...
For you.
When I was talking to these folks, they were like actively asking me how they could get into the game and the furry side of things. I was like, well, you don't have to stop doing pony, but if you do more Pokemon and stuff, you'll do fine. Like, your product here that you have here will do fine. You could set up in an artist alley and make some money.
Yeah.
But if you just edge a little bit further away from the pony, a little bit closer to the furry side of things, you'll do better.
Were they Anthro ponies or did the on-model
The on-model show? Stuff.
Okay. So they might want to, like, expand into more Anthro yeah. designs.
And the other person I was talking to does customs.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good show accurate custom ponies.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also a sculptor. I mean, she's a sculptor who makes all these little extraneous bits for the base model.
Right.
Because what she does, she takes the model horse, dehairs it, like sands down the edges, then repaints them and makes clay molded hair and manes mm-hmm. and tails and wings and extra stuff. So they look better than the toys. And she sells shitloads of them. And she had the idea that, well, she could do, like, adoptables, but make it, because she's also an artist, she could do adoptables that also come with, like, a custom miniature sculpture.
Yeah.
Or she could do, like, customs where it's, like, a blank body that she could customize. And so I talked with her for, like, 40 minutes on how she could, like, break into the fandom in a very unique niche.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, what angle she should start going for in terms of, like, color and, like, which side she should kind of land on in terms of, like, Candy or Lisa Frank style, Vaporwave style versus, like, realistic. And I'm like, you might actually have better luck with the more colorful side of things because that's the current trend. Mm-hmm. So the time I was there, I was actively recruiting people to come into furry and just being unabashed about it. It's like, you need to come and join the furry fandom so you can keep doing cons and keep doing this as your job.
Yeah, because this market is going to continue to shrink over.
I mean, the pony fandom's down to half dozen cons in the US.
Right.
And one in Europe.
Yeah.
So the future's over here in the furry community. If you want to keep drawing anthro critters or cartoon critters, you're going to have an easy time at the furry cons, even if you're not also already doing anime cons.
It's a fur con! So, like, this weekend is Fur Squared.
Yeah.
Next weekend is Anthro New England. The weekend after that is Furry Fiesta. So, yeah, it just occurred to me. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of cons. I, like, just found out about Fur Squared because I happened to see someone tweet that they were looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people with the @FurSquared in their Twitter handles.
Yeah, that's the one. It's in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yep.
So another furry thing we had, you put this in the chat. So there's this game Backbone.
It's yes.
Sort of a dystopia point-and-click adventure with all anthro characters.
It's like a raccoon detective.
Yeah, the main character's a raccoon. I think I backed it on Kickstarter when it was going. And it found a publisher, Raw Fury,
which
they've published Kingdom, Sable, Atomic Crops, Bad North. Basically, they are a tiny publishing house that publishes tinier games because they have distribution deals and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's not huge. They have 29,000 followers for a gaming company, which is actually pretty good.
So they're an indie publisher.
Yeah, they're an indie publisher, except they changed their name upon the announcement to Raw Furry.
Yeah, and they also changed it in their actual icon.
To Raw Furry.
And I made a tweet about it with the screen cap that I thought was amusing, and it actually replied to me.
Nice.
With, when we lean in, we lean in, and it's a screen cap from Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal video where he's doing the extreme lean.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, was like, okay, that's cool. They got a sense of humor about it. They're like, yeah, we know we're going to get a bunch of furries interested in this game, and that's cool.
Well, I mean, you should. I mean, why not lean in? We've got money.
People love anthropomorphic animals. I mean, furry or not, we all grow up watching anthro animals in, like, every fucking cartoon. So, like, you slap an anthro animal in a video game, people are going to like it. And furries even more so. And lots of games probably have anthro animals, too, even outside of, like, the Disney kind of ones and everything.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the Black Sad Under the Skin, because that came out back in December.
Oh, I didn't know it was out already.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, PC Gamer gave it a 68, so it's kind of middling, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, where 5 is okay, not a school grading system where if it's under 7, you failed.
Right.
That's another very anthro thing, even if it's not – that's not a furry thing, but Backbone is done by a furry, a group of furries. I don't know if it's a group or like one or two people.
Yeah.
But that's cool that they have a publisher and they can actually get – you know, it's probably just a digital distribution license. It's not like limited run games where they actually print discs and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, I did the Limited Run Games Collector's Edition set of Dust and Elysian Tale, the Dean Dodrill 2D Metroidvania-ish game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I played that game way back in the day around the time when it came out, but I still was like, holy shit, that's cool, and shelled out the money to get, like, the physical edition with little extra bits. There's, like, a little tiny fidget plush and a tiny soundtrack and
that
a poster. Looks like I did that with Bloodstained. They did the physical goods for that, too, where I have, like, the game, there was just 2-disc CD soundtrack poster and some extra bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, physical goods, yay. Because previously it had just been a digital release.
Yeah.
But now I have an actual physical Nintendo Switch cartridge of that game,
cool.
Dust and Elysian Tale.
Nice.
So that was really neat. Let's see, what else has been going on in the furry world, Fuzz?
The furry world.
I have to say, though, actually here's something that's major. A major hurtful lie, and I hope you guys are sitting down for this one. Papa John admits that he didn't actually eat 40 pizzas in 30 days.
He just wasn't fucking dedicated enough, man.
That
And that made no sense because I was like, I didn't even know that that was a thing that he was supposed to have done. I was just like, what? Okay, whatever.
He's like, Papa John may have gone from pizza pyre to pizza liar.
Oh, they didn't.
The former honcho is now backpedaling on claims he made in November that he had over 40 pizzas in 30 days from his namesake's company. In an interview, John Shatner, 58, appeared to change his tune when it came to his slice record. I didn't say I'd eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days. I said I had 40 pizzas in 30 days.
What, did he fuck them?
He said, I'm not eating every pizza. I may be eating parts of pizzas. So not only was he not eating
all the
pizzas.
I just like to imagine that like there's just always pizzas around him. They're just like sitting on various desks, hanging out of filing cabinets and stuff like that. And as he like walked around his office at Papa John HQ, he would just grab like bits here and there. Yeah,
so I have to say that John Shatner, your day of reckoning has not yet come, and you're also a liar. You didn't eat 40 entire pizzas. You only ate from 40 individual pizzas.
You disappointed pizza.
Like
the actual food is disappointed in you.
It's just the worst.
I never even read I'd heard that he had said something about the day of reckoning is coming, but I didn't read the article. I don't know what he was stupidly referring to. But.
Well, he's trying to sue to get control of Papa John's back after he got laid off or removed from by the board of directors.
Right, but if it's a public company or some kind of corporation, what they did was legal.
Yeah, he's just a mad right winger. The people joking though about the reckoning was when there was like some Domino's exec who died in a snorkeling accident in the Caribbean. And they were like, his reckoning has begun.
Oh, no. He's gonna take out the other pizza CEOs.
You know, the people that run Little Caesars are on notice. They're gonna find themselves hot and unready when he comes for them.
If someone takes out the CEO of Little Caesars, they better stab him in the back.
Yeah.
It's too brute.
You impale him on the spear, then try to do a little thing where the pizzas pop up and flip around and back on the spear.
His dying words, pizza, pizza.
There was also another good, there was a tweet from Abby Russell. It was also fun. So this is a pro tip, y'all.
Okay.
What's your spirit animal? No. Cultural appropriation? Not for you. Kind of racist. What's your fursona? For everybody? Fun to ask at parties. And an opossum.
So it's like, yeah,
this Abby Russell's games journalist on Giant Bomb at Giant Bomb.
Oh, okay.
She's on the cool East Coast show Giant Beastcast, and she's just like, my fursona is an opossum.
Oh, it's fucking, you've done it now. You know,
well, it's funny
because
for like
the fucking fan art.
The reaction is like, how to ask for free art. I see, and then people posting pictures of possums and stuff into her replies. But it's just funny.
Possums are underrated animals, in my opinion.
They're good critters.
And like I've seen some really cute pictures of them. Like, I mean, IRL photographs. Like they're not all terrifying looking.
Then like there was a furry artist going like, oh, you're just asking for free art, aren't you? But there is that image like, sorry, white people, you don't have a spirit animal. That's your fursona.
Yeah. Yeah. That famous one. Yeah.
That was a good tweet. And I said, this is a good tweet. And she favorited it. So therefore, my reply was also good.
That's right. Yes.
I've been freed from Twitter jail. I'm getting faves and likes and people are seeing my tweets again. I don't know what happened.
Does that mean you're not like below the fold?
I'm not below the fold. I'm like right up there getting replies and having shit just get tons of likes again. It's weird. I don't know what happened.
Maybe that times out after a while.
I don't know because like I made a reply today that's at like 8 retweets and 253 likes. And then the other day I replied to Lee Carter of Virginia. Someone was trying to do a gotcha with an article without having actually read the article.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, gee, Lee, you're expecting to read the article he's trying to get you with? And that got a bunch of likes.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've done something to break out of furry Twitter jail.
Right.
And I don't know how, but I'm going to like keep at it, I guess. It's
people
weird.
People heard that furries were good and awesome. And
I don't know. I mean, yes, we are. But it's just weird because now I'm getting like likes and faves on replies and I'm not even trying hard.
Yeah.
Versus like for a while there, and this was amongst a bunch of other furries too, we were all in this Twitter jail. We were like hovering around the same amount of followers, like up, down, plus 2-3 people at a time, but never growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you make one good tweet, you get released from Twitter jail, and all people see your shit again. It's weird. Like, social media is hell, and I don't want to have a huge following, but it's nice to get, like, positive responses to your tweets.
Yeah.
Like, you you're clever or funny and not being rude to people. You know, it's like there was a thing the other day, rules about blood donation. And I was just like, well, then they can't have my delicious O negative. And it got a bunch of faves.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know my blood type. Just has never come up. And like I've had surgery,
yeah,
but they just didn't bother telling me.
I think I've tested mine. I tested mine like when I was much younger, when I was in college, because it was part of like the biology course we were taking.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a neat way to find out. I asked a doctor once. I was like, hey, how do I find my blood type? It seems like a thing I should know. And they're like, we don't run a type test unless it's like for something, basically.
Oh.
Like, well, if we have a reason to do
they,
it.
They double-checked mine when I had my weight loss surgery, because just in case.
Oh, yeah. Whenever they do surgery, like, they want to know that shit just in case you bleed out or something.
And as O neg, everybody can have my blood, except I can only accept O negative blood.
Ah.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So
you're the universal donor.
Yep.
And you're queer. So, damn, oh, well. Shame. Yeah, it really is.
It's not like they don't blood test every ounce of blood that comes across their desktop.
Yeah, like, if blood with HIV came across them, they would screen it out naturally anyway. Along with all the other horseshit, the you can't donate blood for other reasons too, but like they'll test for that. Like, you can't donate blood if you've had jaundice. Because my mother had a very rare blood type that was very much in demand, but she had jaundice as a kid, and apparently that leaves some sort of enzyme or something in your blood that makes it unable to be transplanted into other people.
The rules that are shown in this image is like, we ask that you not donate if you obviously have AIDS or have ever had a positive HIV test. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, have ever used needles to take drugs, steroids, or anything not prescribed by your doctor. Okay. Are a male who has had sexual contact with another male in the past 12 months. Have ever taken money, drugs, or other payment for sex. So if you've ever been a sex worker, even if you like use condoms and all that shit, permanently
taken. So like, even if it's straight sex, you get around the same sex rule. Well, it's not even same sex. It's specifically gay if they're like, if it's male with a male.
But also anybody that does sex work.
But, period. Yeah, anyone that does sex work. I was like, even if it's straight, even if you use protection.
Wow. Have had sexual contact in the past 12 months with anyone described above. So if you have a friend with benefits who also is a sex worker who might also be gay, there's like so many different ways where it's like you might fall afoul of this. Have had syphilis or gonorrhea in the past 12 months, yes, sure, whatever. Have been in juvenile detention, lockup, jail, or prison for more than 72 consecutive hours.
What?
Yeah.
Because they just got so many needles available there, I guess.
Or they expect the sexual assault rate to be so high.
I mean, our prison system is a fucking hellish nightmare.
I mean, there's no denying that, but it's just like, well, I had to spend a week in jail because of an unpaid parking ticket. Nobody fucked with me, and I was just bored out of my skull for a week, but whoopsie-doo, can't donate blood.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and my just reply was like, well, you can't have my delicious O negative.
Yeah.
What can you do? I mean, it's like if you as a gay person have sex with another dude, if you're a dude and have sex with a dude, well, I guess you're out of luck.
Yeah.
So, oh well, let me tell you, I'd like to reset that clock as often as possible.
Yeah.
Like, whoops, can't give blood again. Whoops, can't give blood again. Mm. Here's another good thing. The South Dakota bill banning transition care for minors has died in the state Senate.
Oh, that's good.
There could still be resurrected by, like, some procedural bullshit.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's unlikely to get resurrected.
Right.
Like, they literally shoved it, like, we might consider this on the very last day, but probably not.
As they're slowly edging the bill towards the edge of the table, we might consider...
And then it falls into a shredder.
Well, that's good. Somebody doing something not transphobic. Amazing.
Well, I mean, that's the current push right now. They've lost the culture war. I mean, unfortunately, because they've lost a culture war on the gay side of things,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to punish the smallest, most vulnerable group they can,
right.
Trans people. And so they are trying to make just completely innocuous shit illegal, like, you know, providing puberty blockers to mm-hmm. trans children under 18.
And I know they're trying to break up the LGBT. They're trying to split off the T so that we're not their allies anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they further weaken our community by letter like that. But I'm glad that overall, like, yeah, there's a few assholes that are all for that, that don't like trans people. But overall, the strategy seems to not be working. Well, like, most fellow queers I've seen have spoken up for trans people.
Yeah. Well, the big deal is most of these TERF groups and the LGB Alliance in the UK are literally being paid by right-wing American Christian organizations.
Yeah.
They're literally...
Just like the gay killing law in Uganda was funded by a right-wing American Christian group.
This is American evangelicals wedging from a different direction. Because wedge documents have been a thing.
Yeah.
Like trying to split gays and blacks. That was a thing done in the 80s and 70s by the right wing.
Yeah.
Basically trying to say, oh, the gays want civil rights. Well, you have civil rights. Them getting civil rights will erode yours, as if there is a finite amount of civil rights.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tack they took.
It's literally not pie. I mean, it's not a finite resource.
And in the UK, like, you've got the TERFs. Because they're just terrible human beings. And you also have this LGB Alliance, which popped up recently and is getting a lot of mysterious dark money via GoFundMe. They're trying to cause division. They're not a lot of people, but they are basically spreading hate. And the thing is also, when they're trying to carve off the T, well, they're not very fond of the B either. So if you're bi, they're pretty down against you too.
Yeah.
You know,
as I said, they're going to try to take us out letter by letter.
Yeah. And so you have them being splitters to basically weaken it, and they're doing the right wing's job for them.
Yeah.
Either they're dupes.
I think they are, because
they're evil.
They got all pissed off when some women were posting right wing shit, and they're like, whoa, we're not conservatives, we don't believe in that shit, that, like, you know, women should be, like, subservient to men and stuff like that, you know, like, they're posting, like, religious, like, stuff like that. And then, you know, so TERF suddenly realized that other people in our movement are also assholes, and it's like, yeah, what dog did you think you were lying down here with?
Boy, there sure are a lot of fleas.
Yeah, like, they were legit surprised and disappointed, and it's like, y'all don't realize, like, you have really shitty opinions. You're not in alignment with your so-called liberal values, you know?
Yeah. The other thing, too, there was an article that came up today that Iowa bill would ban teachers from saying that Pete Buttigieg is gay without notifying parents.
That's fucking so... it's so ridiculous. Oh, my God.
The bill supporter said that Buttigieg's identity is a controversial topic that parents should have a right to opt their children out of.
Fuck that.
You have no right to say that gay people are a controversial subject and don't exist. You don't have the right to tell your children that queer people aren't real. And I want the politician to have the balls to come up and just fucking say that. Be like, queer people exist. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I want the fucking power of Christianity broken in this country. I want a great walkout like happened in the Scandinavian countries where, like, most everybody's an atheist. And you can go to church if you want, but you don't have political power to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And criminalize trans kids and tell people that gays are controversial and we have to warn your children before we fucking talk about them. Like, believe in God all you want, but you can't pretend that I don't exist.
You can dislike and disagree with Pete's politics or Pete's statements or anything else, but you can't just say that his mere existence as a gay person is, quote, controversial. That's just – it'd be like – you know, it's similar to race in my opinion. It'd be like, oh, well, the fact that Barack Obama is black is controversial. And I mean, I guess it was because of all the racism. But just – oh, just that just drives me crazy.
Hi, Ajax.
Hi.
Hi.
Like
– we haven't roared yet.
You're going to talk way over there, so if you're going to talk, you need to actually...
Like, just hearing you guys talk about
that. Find the cable.
Like, remember how when Barack Obama got elected president and everybody was like, racism's over! We're not racist anymore!
Wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be what happens if Pete gets elected to be president. Everybody will be like, nobody's homophobic anymore! And be like, no. No.
Yeah.
Now, the bill applies...
I'm not falling for that shit this time.
To... It's not specifically... Buttigieg.
But sure.
It's literally allows parents to opt out of sex education information, but this bill expands it to any program, curriculum, material, test, survey, questionnaire, activity, announcement, promotion, or instruction of any kind that has anything to do with queer people.
Well, they're not going to bring their kids to the zoo.
Yeah, man. Like, do you know how many species of animals will just fuck anything? The answer is most of them, at least 1,500 of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Pete Buttigieg is a fucking husk of a rat who's very much a CIA plant, but also, like, saying that his existence is controversial because he's gay is, like, dumb as shit.
That is just, that is so
He worked for a company that fixed bread prices in Canada, but he's still a human being.
Right.
So, we did make it through New Hampshire. There was no shenanigans with that, thankfully.
Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as much of a nail biter as fucking Iowa was.
Oh, I've been listening to the podcast Worst Year Ever.
Yeah.
And I got to their episode about Idaho. They called it Idaho Chaos, which I thought
Iowa was Chaos mean?
Iowa yeah. Chaos, which I thought was a good title for it. And they were talking about how, like, the pundits in the mainstream media are talking about Joe Biden having a strong fourth place showing, and it's like, wow.
Well, they were, like, saying that about Klobuchar in New Hampshire. We don't need to worry about who comes in first, but who comes in second and third? Well, we know who's going to come in first, and that's Bernie. He won again.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Pete Buttigieg came in, like, 3 points behind him, and Klobuchar got 20% within, like, Warren got 12 or something like that.
You neither can't stop the Klobmentum.
The Klob
She's
got
Klobo-charged.
Oh, God.
That was what the pundits were saying all night long.
And oh, my like, God.
Oh, that's so awful.
Why didn't they say Klob Goblins?
Because that's offensive.
Klob Goblins is amazing.
It's just such a reach. Klobo-charge? Like, what's that even supposed to mean?
It's something that Klobo
Klobmentum.
Yeah, Klobmentum came up with. Like,
there
yeah.
was a pretty funny image. So it looks like Biden's not working, and then it was a picture, a screenshot from GoldenEye. He picked up a clob. It was a gun in the game. Extremely bad.
Okay.
But you could dual wield it.
And then I also love that how for weeks it was like, Iowa's the only thing that matters. And then Iowa was a dud.
Is Iowa really that important?
Yeah. And then Bernie won New Hampshire. And then it was, is New Hampshire really representative of the Democratic Party? And it's like, what do you guys want?
Well,
I know you want Joe Biden, but that's clearly not going to happen.
There was literally a Washington Post editorial that said that voters in Iowa and New Hampshire have bad taste. Yeah, we're going to listen to you, pundit brain. But the other thing that they've been doing, and this is really weird because they've been doing their damnedest to just obfuscate the fact that Bernie came in first.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this thing today, it's like Sanders versus moderates. And, like, Sanders got 26% of the vote, and then Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Biden got a total of 53% of the vote. Split amongst them three ways.
Well, yeah, if you put Sanders against, like, everyone else combined, of course the number's going to be lower.
But yeah.
There was so much disingenuous bullshit, because at this time, in 2016, it was just Hillary and Bernie. Whereas this time, there was, like, 9 or something people still vying in New Hampshire. And
yeah.
So there was this hilarious diff that was like Bernie with 30% of the support, and then like 15 other people split the 70. Like, yeah. Why doesn't Bernie understand that he's plummeted to first place with only 30% when compared to these 15 other people that have 70% of the support?
Oh my gosh. The thing I loved about that image is it made me think of The Thing. And like, it just looks like a poster for the reboot where Klobuchar, Biden, and Budin just merge together in one of those horrendous forms to take on Bernie.
Have you seen Full Metal Alchemist?
I'm aware.
Shu Tucker. So the tweet was, the Democratic National Committee has realized that the best way to beat Bernie Sanders is to make a chimera of his three biggest opponents. That end, we've hired a new strategy manager to facilitate this. Shu Tucker, well known for making anime dog girls real, said he looks forward to working with the eventual candidate.
I still like the alternate universe take where, like, his daughter was allowed to grow up and she, like, became an alchemist and she was just this cute dog and was adorable.
Yeah, Scar didn't have to kill her, but...
No.
But Full Metal Alchemist and
was
Brotherhood...
Was this before or after he killed Mufasa?
This was a different Scar.
Oh. Scar's original name was Dirt.
In what, The Lion King?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it was something in Swahili that meant dirt, but it was dirt.
Roughly translated to, you fucking piece of shit.
Well, his parents had named him Dirt, and then Mufasa, like, gave him shit after he got his scar. And like, haha, I'm gonna call you Scar now, because you got a scar on your face. And that's how he got the name Scar. And he hated that name.
Uh-huh.
But that's what he became.
Is this from the 2019 movie, I guess? Like, where is this additional lore coming from?
I may or may not have watched all of Lion Guard.
Oh, right. There's that, too.
Oh, it's from that? Oh, so it's from the Lion King cinematic universe.
Did you know lions have Jedi?
Sure. Well, I mean, Disney owns them. They can have Jedi.
They also have cutie marks now.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some other quip, but I'm like, I realize I've only seen, like, art of the characters. I've never actually seen any of the show.
I watched all of it. The third season was very disappointing, though, because it lacked a lot of hyena content.
Oh, right, because there's a little hyena girl.
Yeah, there's also Jango, which is the major antagonist for the series.
Uh-huh.
And then Scar comes back to life as a volcano.
Sure, why not?
Yep.
Is there, like, a cute honey badger?
There is, and he is the gay adopted son of Timon and Pumbaa, which makes him Simba's brother.
Right.
Okay. That works.
Yeah, they actually have an episode where they kind of realize that and, like, oh, yeah, we are brothers. And that whole series was just so gay. Except in the third season when Disney was like, oh, shit, this was too gay. Pull the ripcord. Everybody's straight now.
We have to ship the characters with opposite sex, whatever.
We have to make them be in the same species. We can't have that hyena fall in love with that lion.
Aw, that's a shame.
Interspecies erotica, fucko.
We can't have that reviewing. There's no reviewing going on here.
Oh, it's the animated that everyone was...
Oh, right.
The one that was like...
With the hyena.
The hyena girl, but also was... It wasn't that it was controversial. It wasn't that people were complaining. It just, it literally was breaching standards and practices for Japanese television.
I'm so disappointed that got taken off the air.
No. It's still airing on like Japanese Skinamax.
Ah!
And Pornhub.
Nice.
But it's not airing on one of the literal television stations that was airing it because they were just like, this is breaching standards and practices for Japan.
Like, I heard they replaced it with, like, a boat building show. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, okay.
Everyone's like, nice boat.
Interesting shows.
But yeah, Lion Guard, it's cute, but, you know.
It was good. Like, I enjoyed the first two seasons.
I haven't seen it. But the other thing I saw today was, like, the Chris Klizza power rankings or whatever, and it was Klobuchar was up the ranks and Biden was down, and Buttigieg was going around. You know how generally the person that's first is placed center and then it trails off to the right? They had flipped it so that Bernie, even though he was marked as one, was on the right side of the screen away from Klobuchar, who was, like, dead center, even though she's fifth.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just, like, this weird, like... You're making conscious choices to do this. You're trying to minimize Bernie as hard as you can, and everybody sees what you're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just weird at this point.
Yeah. Like, I was listening to MSNBC today, and they actually had, like, some positive Bernie spin for the first time in weeks. And I was like, oh, maybe they think he might actually be the candidate. And they're trying to walk some of that back.
Oh, just in case he's our eventual president, we want to maintain our press credentials.
Yeah, it's just like they really don't want Bernie to happen, and I've never really understood why. It's just, it's so weird.
Because they're owned by the billionaires?
He literally threatens the billionaire class by making them go into play their fair share.
Oh, I love it when somebody's on TV and they go, the middle class like us, and it's like, you make more money than God.
Yeah, you're a contributor on MSNBC, Fox, CNN, whatever. You're paid in the quarter million plus a year easy. And yeah, you might live in New York City, but that's your problem, pal.
Yep.
The average income in this country is under like $50,000 a year when you include everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so like the idea of the middle class is really something that we should be disabused of. Like, class in that terms, you're either a worker or you're an owner, and we're all busting our butts out here. Yeah, you've got a house. You are way closer to any homeless person than you are to some millionaire, or let alone a billionaire.
There was this thing, I forget his name, it was a longtime Democratic strategist, Carville, I think.
Mm-hmm. James Carville?
James, yeah, I was trying to remember his first name, Jim Carville. And they were interviewing him, and he was talking about, I don't know, some kind of bullshit, you know, and considering himself like the middle class. And then the tweet was like, oh, here's his house. It's like 3 stories, 7 bedrooms. It's like horribly decorated because rich people have no taste.
Nope.
And like it was pink. Like one of the comments was like, I feel like I need a Pepto-Bismol after looking. You know, like a whole room is in pink.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
And his house just looks like it was made of fondant.
yeah, it really did. Yeah, actually, one of the other comments was like, wow, it was like the designer was only given one note, fondant.
The worst cake topping.
Yeah. And that's the only thing I don't like about those kind of cool videos where they're like, the guy cuts stuff in half and the stuff always turns out to be a cake. And it's sort of like, but you know it probably tastes disgusting. Because like, to make cake look like a glass bottle, it's so much fondant that it's gonna be horrible.
Like, the cake part would be fine. You just gotta, like, scoop out the center.
Well, that was like that chocolate table video that you posted. And it's like, hey, Ajax, make this.
Yes.
And I'm like, I just thought to myself, it probably tastes pretty gross after all the, like, airbrush stuff they put on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the airbrush stuff is actually usually made out of, like, some kind of edible substance.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. But still, it's like, after all the handling and all the work, you know, you're like, well, I'm just going to take a bite of this birdcage.
It's more that the chocolate itself is designed to be more structural than tasty. And it's like, yes, you could technically eat this chocolate, but you don't want to eat this chocolate.
Yeah. It just reminds me of a clip from the Japanese game show where something in the room is chocolate and the person has to find it. And you see all these people trying to bite various things. And then the guy bites the brass-looking door handle and it turns out to be chocolate. And he's like, ah!
I love that. One of the best reactions.
It's a great reaction.
Like, I found the chocolate.
Yeah. They got really creative on that show. I've seen a couple other clips, and like, it was always something that you would not expect. I think it was like a shoe or something at one
point. There was a shoe.
Yeah, and it's like, you would think that the person was nuts for like tasting a shoe, and it's like, oh, wow, it turns out that that's the chocolate. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got way off topic.
No, that's fine, because we were talking about, you know, media bullshit, because the next thing is
bullshit.
There's a quote-unquote anonymous block of Democratic Party donors launching a PAC specifically designed to stop Bernie Sanders and saying it's not going to release its funding sources because Sanders supporters are too mean online.
Oh my god, why?
Bullying the libs has backfired! Oh no!
I'm just like,
you know, a Bernie bro was mean to me online, therefore people don't deserve health care.
Have they ever talked to a Republican?
No sense whatsoever. Like, I understand Republicans having a pact to take down whoever is the eventual nominee, Democrats having a pact to make ads against Trump. But for, in the middle of a primary, for a pact to be like, we don't care which of these other 8 people you vote for, just don't vote for Bernie. It's just such a fucking weird take. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before.
I haven't either, and it's only because Bernie is popular. Like, and the word socialism scares them because they're like, oh no, they're going to come for our money.
Anyone told them that the fucking election is a popularity contest, so maybe him being popular is a good thing?
Well, just because you win the popular vote doesn't mean you'll win.
There was Chris Matthews crying on MSNBC claiming that if socialism wins, he's going to be executed in Central Park.
Oh, I saw that video. That was horrible.
What?
And I'm
though,
like,
to be specific, he was saying that if the communists had won in the 80s, he would have been executed in Central Park. Not specifically this time around.
The communists were running for election in the 80s.
Well, he meant like the Cold War.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If Russia had actually invaded us in the 80s, sure, you could have been executed in Central Park.
Yeah.
But we're not in the weird AU.
Nope.
here. We're in this reality where, unfortunately, Hillary didn't win and Gore didn't win. And this is the hellscape that we're in. I don't need Kerry to win if Gore won.
Oh, true.
If Gore had won, there'd be a net positive amount of sea ice right now.
As opposed to all that barren gray land on the Argentinian base on the peninsula of Antarctica.
Boy, sure
there was a balmy 68 degrees at the Antarctic the other day.
That's warmer there than it was here.
Yeah.
And what do you know? The Antarctic ice has a bit of a problem of staying around when it's 68 degrees. And there's no plant life there to keep the soil in place. And it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real mess.
So, was it you or Tiran was telling me about melt? The other day.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the climate models didn't take into account melt when it was factoring for, like, glacial melt. Because they thought about surface melt, but some of the stuff they didn't plan for was the amount of erosion that would happen from water falling down underneath the glacier and then eroding it out from underneath as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just sinking and dying faster than they had even predicted.
Yeah.
And also, like, a lot of the climate models, it's not like they were over-exaggerated. A lot of the climate models were always under-exaggerated.
Yeah.
So, like, we're way worse off than we ever thought we would be.
Because
they probably under-exaggerated it because they thought, oh, this will freak people out. We don't want to sound too crazy.
Yep.
Well,
like, there was a glacial collapse in Antarctica that they're like, when this happens, it's going to raise global sea levels by 2 feet.
Yeah.
And it's not like it might. There's like, this is going to happen. So
yeah.
Say goodbye to some low-lying islands in the Pacific Ocean. Say goodbye to, you know, New Orleans. You remember seeing in The Expanse, they've got these massive seawalls around New York City, and the Statue of Liberty is behind a seawall and like 10 feet under the sea level.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, they already faced that in the Expanse universe. Well, guess what? We don't have those seawalls in place yet.
New York will get them built fast. Everyone else won't, though.
Yeah.
I wonder if losing a major American city, it's just New Orleans is just fucking gone. Houston is just fucking gone.
Well, I mean,
you know, would actually make people, like, sit up and be like, shit, we have to actually do something.
Houston's at fucking sea level, and because they don't have zoning laws, apparently, that's why the area has such bad flooding, because they just built all over floodplains all willy-nilly. So, the flood level, when the water rises, even if it's just a few feet, you're losing a lot of Texas land. You're losing all of South and North Padre Island, except for maybe Galveston, because they've got like a 8-foot seawall at certain parts of the tourist area.
Yeah.
But you take in two more extra feet of seawater, the island's that much smaller. But also, when that next hurricane comes through, you're just that much wiped clean.
Yeah.
We're looking at all these refineries and shit on our coast. Once up to 2 feet of water, you don't think that's a lot, but 2 feet in some of these low-lying areas, that's going to fucking flood bayous all over southern Louisiana, the coasts of Mississippi and Alabama, Florida. Florida's not very high above sea level.
No. A lot of those big mansions on the coast. Yeah.
You know, Mar-a-Lago is going to be waterside. That's fine. Average elevation of Florida.
And it's not even the flooding itself. It's the consequences of the seawater level being higher. Because right now, South Florida has a real problem with groundwater, freshwater wells becoming contaminated with saltwater because of the heightened sea levels and the decreased volume of, like, the Everglades and stuff like that, and, like, the barriers from the sea. And so, like, there's just all of these freshwater wells that they can't use anymore because they got filled with salt water, and there's no way to fix that.
So the average elevation in Florida, according to Google, is 6 feet, with some places as little as 3 feet above sea level, soon to be 1 foot above sea level. I hope there's not a storm Or just high winds and rain and waves.
Things that happen in Florida all the time.
Yeah.
There's a bear run and everybody just jumps in the poop into the ocean at once. And there's just this wave.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody in the pool.
Oh, no. Flood the state. The state of Florida was erased from the map today as a large group of bears jumped into the ocean and the wave whacked the state clean.
One of the gay cruises out of Miami, and they're like, cannibals!
Nah, they'll all be... Never mind, I won't make that joke.
Anyway, what other bad news do we have tonight, Saverin?
Well, let's see. I think we've hit most of the stuff. Well, not bad news. You know, Andrew Yang's dropped out, and according to Business Insider, Bernie Sanders stands to benefit the most from Andrew Yang dropping out, with 69% of the businessman supporters also liking the senator.
Nice.
And I tweeted that, and I was able to get a screenshot when it hit 69 likes.
Double nice.
I was playing Final Fantasy and had that tweet open in the other window, and I was refreshing it in between things to make sure that I could catch it when it hit 69, because I'm just that kind of internet weirdo.
Yeah.
But I did it. Nice. Because I was like, oh, they're talking in a cutscene. Good. Snip. Got it. Threw it into the chat. Nice squared.
Like, the only time I ever get a lot of likes on a tweet is when you mention me in a tweet and then everybody faves it.
I was telling Fuzz earlier I'm out of Twitter jail now, and I don't know how, but I'm getting likes and faves and shit on my stuff. I'm appearing above the fold somehow, so nice. That's good.
Yeah.
I've become a quality Twitter account somehow, right?
Right, because people like Fennex.
Yep.
You're a skunk now.
I got new art.
He's species fluid.
That's right. Well, because there was an artist who was in celebration of Bernie winning New Hampshire, send me a picture of your OC, and I'll put the dog collar for Bernie on your OC.
Yeah.
So
barks for Bernie, right?
I sent the image that Soft Dogs did of Saverin on the way to the vendor hall.
Yeah.
And then I changed my icon to its monochrome Saverin with the Bernie collar on.
Yes.
And did you know that there's a Bernie rally tomorrow in Mesquite?
Nice.
And I was thinking to myself, it's like, well, I could go to that tomorrow because I don't think we really have any hot plans for Valentine's Day, Panther and I. But I could go to that rally and they might have a merch booth where I might be able to buy a dog collar.
Can you get me one if they do?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd just be like, oh, are you buying this for, like, sizing it up? Yeah, I'm buying it for my dog.
His neck is about as large as mine. Do you want a bag? No, I'll just wear it out.
I'll get the one, the little one for Adam. Like, I would totally get one for Adam to replace his current one because it's kind of ratty and old. He's had it since we got him.
The small dog that gets the small taco.
The tiny tacos.
Large.
That was so cute.
It was.
He actually ended up getting 3 of them, though, because the first one, the video, and the second time, he grabbed it, Adam, like, he jumped up and grabbed it before I could slowly give it to him. I was like, Adam, wait, no! He just jumps and grabs it, runs off, and eats it. I'm like, God damn it, little dog, fine, you get a third taco!
So you're the content creator parent that makes their kid redo the cute thing 3 different times?
Well, I'm just...
Hey, I'm not. He got 3 tacos out of it. I don't think it was a bad day for him. No. So
I haven't seen this video.
It's really cute because Adam was. He saw me holding something food wise, so he was doing his like little hops. He was like very excited.
Yeah.
And then there was the tweet where I took the picture. And I was like,
must be nice when that works.
Gently the taco, and like I made him sit. Oh. And I was like, sit. And he was like staring at the taco. I was like, now you can have it. And he goes, very gently takes it and then skitters as he flips around and runs out of the room. Like, he was like, I'm being good. I got out of my mouth. Bye! So, yes, I did make Adam redo the take, but he got 3 little tiny tacos out of it. They're okay. Like, I'm looking forward to them showing up at Town Talk because they're really cheap. They're like, you get 15 mini tacos for $3.
Oh, was this a food cart?
No, they're the little mini tacos from Jack in the Box.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are inexplicably tied in with Sonic the Hedgehog the movie. Which they didn't have any like Sonic the Hedgehog bullshit at the Jack in the Box. They just had the tacos. And so I was there because I'm a connoisseur of garbage food and have very low standards sometimes. So I was like, I'm gonna get me some baby tacos. They were okay. And my dog liked them, which is good because, like, if Adam wouldn't eat it, that'd be pretty big concern.
Yeah.
Like, there was one time I got some okra from Town Talk. It was, like, breaded. You just needed to use the air fryer. It came out so bad that not even Adam would eat it. Like,
dang.
I just chucked the entire bag at that point because it was gross. And then Adam was like, this is gross, and I'm a dog. I will sit next to you and loudly lick my butthole, but that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that sometimes, and I'm like, dog, why? It's disgusting. Do it elsewhere. He's like, nope, I gotta clean my butt right next to you.
Don't have thumbs, and I have an itch.
Apparently. Well. Other than that, wrong chat. I'm looking at Telegram, letting people know. I was like, yo, there's a thing tomorrow. Woo!
God, me and Fuzz both forwarded the badger and the coyote to Tyrion in our house chat at the same time.
Nice. You know, just like, well, yeah, we're both clearly on the right, thinking the same thing.
Well, I threw it into the fan chat, and then also made sure to the other one, the you and I Fuzz chat, to make sure you saw it.
Yep.
And so I figured that would get forwarded along because it's this really cute furry art doing
the people badger. People just and love coyote. The badger and coyote. It's such a cute video.
Yeah, it's by the artist is Kuna Kebby on Twitter. And it's very cute painterly. The badger's riding on the coyote's back and they're very cute.
Yeah.
And then the culvert is in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going on an adventure.
Woo!
Woo!
Let's see. The War Powers Resolution got passed by the Senate 55-45, but Trump's going to fucking veto it, so...
Yeah, they'd have to have 67 votes to make it a veto-proof majority.
Yeah. IRS.
So basically it's just some Republicans getting to be able to say, oh, we were just towing party lines, you know, sort of make a statement, but not enough of them to actually put anything in the law.
Yeah.
I still think of the ones that were like, now Trump will know better after they voted to keep him from getting out of office or whatever. But it's just, it's like, no, that wasn't going to happen. Because the very next day, he then fired, what was his name?
Vindman.
Yeah.
And Sondland.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like retaliation upon retaliation. The rule of law has failed in this country.
And this Roger Stone thing is insane.
And yeah. Then, Mitch McConnell, like, said in an interview that he's just going to try to pack the lower courts with Republican judges. Like his goal is to leave no vacancy by the end of the term, and it's just...
Basically, there's going to have to be, like, delete Republicans law. Like, if you're a Republican that were put on during this term, you no longer have a job, because they cannot fuck our country for another generation.
No. Like most young people, they're not going to the GOP. The GOP has a real age problem right now because there's just nobody becoming a Republican.
I mean, I'm sorry, we've just outlawed the Republican Party. You no longer have power. Get out. I mean, make me... I will be the dictator that would do that. You just cease to exist in power or in reality. I don't like you that much.
Sorry, I just heard that as dictator.
Oh, I'm that too.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. The IRS quietly deletes guidelines that Fortnite virtual currency must be reported on tax concerns. If you've invested in Fortnite V-Bucks, you might have to report that to the government.
Well, they took that out.
They took it out they gave it as an example of a digital currency that could appreciate.
Uh-huh.
But V-Bucks, you don't?
Yeah. Once they're gone, like once you pay money for it, you can't get that money back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only reason V-Bucks exists is to obfuscate the actual cost of purchases.
Yep.
And to make them an arbitrary cost, because if you buy more, you get more.
Yep.
Which lowers the cost of an item, which means you've just given them $50 as opposed to $20.
As someone who spent about $2,000 on Pokemon Go, I can tell you how effective that strategy is.
Okay. At least I knew that Pokemon Go. I thought you were going to say you did that with Fortnite. I was going to be like, Jesus Christ, dude. But no.
No, that was only like maybe 500.
I spent maybe like 150 or more. No, because I bought like three full plus, probably more than $100 on Fortnite over the year I paid it.
Right. But I wasn't a blue whale, but I was at least an orca.
Yeah. Well, I bought skins. I bought the Elsa skin because everybody was shitting on it. Because I was getting kills with it and making people madder, which is good. Nice. Plague Doctor skin. Made sure I got my werewolf boyfriend.
Oh, werewolf boyfriend. And I made sure to go buy
the polar bear.
Bear husband.
Yeah.
I didn't catch deer, though. I didn't get that one. That one was kind of eh because of the glasses.
Basically, they made a bunch of furry characters in Fortnite. Okay. They did the werewolf, and they did like a dragon guy, and then they're like, oh no, furries are playing this, so they made
they're hot.
An anthropomorphic polar bear. And a few more, like a deer guy, you said?
Yeah, there was a deer guy.
There was a fox guy.
I own the fox.
It's just a straight anthro fox. It's not like a dude in a costume. It's just a furry.
Yeah, it's just a furry. They also have a slime dude.
Yeah.
For people into that.
There's people into that. But V-Bucks are no longer something you have to report to the IRS. It was just an example, but people were like, but I spent a lot of money on V-Bucks, but you can't cash them out.
They're not cryptocurrency.
They're not Bitcoins.
Right. You can use blockchain to make these.
It was just probably somebody who doesn't know things.
I mean, somebody that's still in the IRS.
Yeah. And to kind of wrap it up on a lighter note, HGTV had a Thruple episode of House Hunters. Did you read the article about this, Fuzz?
I didn't. I saw the headline and I thought, oh, that must be interesting.
That explains why Keo was tweeting about that.
So HGTV's Thruple episode of House Hunters has viewers talking. The latest episode of HGTV's hit series featured Brian, Laurie, and Gelly, G-E-L-I, Gelly. So two chicks and a dude, a thruple in search of a new home, which has three sinks in Colorado. And basically it was just like these people, they're polyamorous and have a three-person relationship. Isn't this weird? And they're like, well, we need three sinks in the bathroom. And I'm like, really? You don't really need three sinks in the bathroom. Like,
you need three bathrooms, but you don't necessarily need three sinks in one bathroom.
Yeah, well, I saw one part was like so that you can all brush your teeth at the same time, and I'm like, that seems kind of Stepford Wives, but yeah.
That's the argument for having two sinks at the same time with most straight people, so it's just like,
I don't know. I never end up doing anything at the same time as Taylor does.
This is neat. Okay, so reading the USA Today article, HGTV three-person three-puller three-pull, during the episode titled Three's Not a Crowd in Colorado Springs, partners Brian, Laurie, and Angelica, Jelly, were moving to Colorado in search of a home with a master bath that can accommodate three sinks. The house hunt had an escalated difficulty with only 1 week to satisfy three very different personalities. You know, those shows only really happen after they've selected a house, but whatever. It's all fake drama. But
honestly, they never even usually buy the house. The houses are just like stage houses that their friends have that they go film in.
Like, if you ever see these shows, there's three houses and only one of them's ever furnished. Consider that.
What stupid jobs did they have? Did one of them make tiny sweaters for hamsters?
One's a
cat herder.
Potato massager. So the thing is, the kind of thing that's kind of nice is Laurie and I got married in 2002 and we have two kids, Brian explained in the episode. I understood from day one when we were dating, Laurie's bisexual, so we evolved to a point where we were comfortable having another woman in our lives. Jelly said they met at a bar. I didn't plan on being in a relationship with a married couple. It just happened very naturally, organically, she explained. Brian said though the three partners are not married, they had a commitment ceremony in Aruba. In a statement provided by USA Today by a spokesperson, it's like, we feature all home buyers and living choices. The episode elicited reactions from viewers on social media, with some praising the representation for polyamory. Author Roxanne Gay praised it as a great episode and educational.
Yeah, sounds like they presented their relationship pretty well.
Yeah, it's just like three-person relationship, and they're like, we need a big kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need a three-ass kitchen. That's how Tyrion's family measures kitchen size, is the number of how many asses can we fit in this kitchen at once.
Y'all's kitchen,
a three-ass kitchen is very important on Thanksgiving.
Mm. I could say y'all might have a three-ass kitchen only because it's long, but then again, we got big asses around here, so you can't be like ass to ass.
It's a max two-ass kitchen. After two asses, there's just too many asses.
Yeah,
the nice thing is, though, is that we can escape by going around through the production room to get around somebody.
That's true. You have lots of points of... This house has a lot of paths.
It does.
It has many doors, paths. Boy.
We have not explored them all yet.
And then, of course, another tweet user said, I was legit about to change channel until I heard Thruple. You have my full attention now, lol.
Isn't it Thruple?
I don't know. Thruple? Thruple.
I always heard it as Thruple.
Okay.
Okay.
Words. You only see them written, so you don't know how they're said. It's a
Thruple.
Thruple.
And then there's sort of like, there's like 4% to 5% of people have some sort of polyamorous thing, and about 20% of people have at least tried it at some point in their life.
That's really 4% to 5%?
That maintain the relationships.
Still. Oh, like
4% to 5% of relationships are polyamorous.
That's kind of crazy high. I didn't realize it was that high. That's interesting.
Have you tried to live on just two incomes nowadays? If anything? It's just good business sense. You get a third, and that cuts your rent down by a third.
Millennials have discovered these two neat tricks for how to live in the 21st century. Polyamory and eating ass.
Yeah.
And that is how you make bread.
You be bisexual, and you be open to having your boyfriend's boyfriend over, and you can afford a house.
Yep.
You know, and let's say that when Panther and I did that for a little while, it did really help the bills.
Yep. Because, like, when you're sharing a home with someone, there's just, like, so many things that you can share that then you don't have to go buy yourself.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who aren't buying three lawnmowers because they're all in the same house. So they only need a lawnmower. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever really goes bad in the house because everything always runs out.
I have a table saw now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have
and
to,
two shop vacs.
You'll have to show
only
me
one of which was paid for.
Your dad garage when we're done. You can show off your work. Ajax is very proud of his
I actually like it too, because I'm like, it's really kind of cool that the garage has an
organized
this little,
garage.
It's organized, number one. That's really nice. There's more space in it because a bunch of shit got thrown out and others shelves got added and stuff like that. But also there's like this little work project space now. So like it's an area to do things in rather than just storage for the cars and the lawn equipment.
You need another bookshelf for your books, Fuzz? Well, now we know the dog for the job.
Just make me some bookshelves. Bookshelves everywhere.
You joke, but I actually was thinking about it yesterday.
It's like, well, I'm just looking at Tyrion's wall of games here. It is pretty full.
Like, it'd be the library that I redid, because we have a lot of bookshelves that don't maximize the space. Right. So I'd make bookshelves that actually go all the way to the ceiling.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I've been in a manic episode, so I cleaned the garage, and also it was a great way to escape the horrible reality that is 2020.
Right.
Yep, yeah. That's valid.
Find yourself a project.
Yep. And we can fit the land yacht when we buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a test when we rented the van for Midwest, drove the car in there, and Tyrion had me drive my car in next to it to see if it would fit. And I'm like, yeah, we can fit this massive van and my Matrix in our garage.
God, you live in the suburban dream.
I know, right? It's so nice.
I do. We got extremely lucky.
Three income.
To have that minivan.
Buying this house when the bubble had popped on housing prices.
Three income, no kids. The only dog you have is Ajax.
I do dishes.
A dog that does dishes.
That's amazing. Like
builds bookcases, apparently.
Adam would do the dishes, but all I do is just lick them.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, give me more. I want to lick more plates.
Oh my god, what if I walked in one day and you were just licking the plates and then putting them into the cabinets?
Oh no, he's been caught out.
Slurp. Clean.
Well, at this point, we've hit all of our topics, it looks like, and we're only at an hour 13 this week. It's a lot less raw. I mean, we hit the New Hampshire thing. It happened. It wasn't a three-day drama fest where everybody's like hoping for the numbers to come in. It's just like the numbers came in. Oh, Bernie won. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I don't feel nearly as much like bloodlust after last week.
I felt a lot of raw after the New Hampshire was in, but the next day was kind of cathartic because then everybody started on the well maybe New Hampshire isn't that important stuff, and it was just like
and like the one of the Iowa DNC chairs like resigned after the clusterfuck that the entire Iowa thing was.
Yeah.
And so like there's going to be repercussions on the back end of that for a while, but
just the fact that like, you know, they're like, let's ignore all those conspiracy theories, because like I kind of agree with like Robert and Co. on Worst Year Ever that it was just incompetency on multiple levels. But the fact that the app was named Shadow and made by a company called Acronym, it's just sort of like, could you sound any shadier? You know, I mean, I'm sure you could, but that's
fraud guarantee.
We're in 2020. We're in, like, Shadow Realm future, which is about the cool magic.
One of the things that they pointed out is that one of the main criticisms leveled at Hillary Clinton in the election was that she was shady. And then they named their app Shadow, and it's just like,
well, Hillary had this massive campaign that had run against her for decades. Like, ever since Clinton was a governor? senator?
Governor of Arkansas.
Yeah, like ever since then, like they'd always hated on Hillary. So there was just this massive Hillary hate machine that was revving and rearing to go when the 2016 election happened. And then she just brought all the baggage with her. And she still, let's not forget, she still won the popular vote by like, what, 3 million votes?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she still somehow lost for reasons. So our only hope is that it is the blue tsunami, not just a blue wave.
Gore won the popular vote, too.
Yeah, you have to vote in numbers that they can't
manipulate. It's really kind of something that we've had two Democratic presidents not be president because they won the popular vote and somehow got fucked. It's like,
fucking Chad.
If we change those two elections, the history of this country would be so vastly different.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a possibility that it could be worse because, like, after Gore, they could have installed just a super dictator as a ultimate reaction to that.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is why we need to abolish the Senate and abolish the Electoral College to take the power away from the tiny states, because a person in Wyoming's vote shouldn't count three times what mine does.
The Senate should be apportioned on population, not just two state. Yeah. Or they should allow Puerto Rico to become a state and give us two more Democratic senators. Or one of the other territories. Guam would probably love to be a state.
I just want to execute.
Isn't it like American Samoa, where like the people are allowed to serve in the U.S. military, but they're not considered citizens?
I think so. Man. It's one of them.
U.S. territories. Like,
there's a lot of little territories that America just fucks. And
yeah, there's various. A lot of territories.
We just need to refer to them as to what they are. Colonies. There are colonies.
Yeah.
Okinawa, it's colonized by us. Even if it's owned by Japan, we have our colony there.
Just the fact that, like,
U.S. Virgin Islands, same thing.
Like, Puerto Ricans are American citizens, and then we just fucking ignored Puerto Rico and acted like it was some country in the middle of nowhere that we didn't care about when it got hit by the hurricane. It's like,
I mean,
and then they had like a shitload of earthquakes after that.
Yeah, a bunch of Puerto Ricans moved to Florida because of that, so now they're going to be this massive voting bloc in 2020.
Maybe that'll help.
It's not a bright side thing, but at least it's a thing that happened.
I have no context for this. So I opened a tweet, and it's a note about the Ishgardian Restoration Project. It's the reopening of some stuff in Final Fantasy XIV in the next patch. And it's a bunny girl gatherer with a freaking laser cannon on her shoulder. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I want it. It's like, nuke the sky whales. Like, yes, I must go gather from nature and be careful. Then it's like, whale, boom, getting some of that sky blubber. I don't know. I'm just like, it's a bunny girl with a bazooka. That's cool as shit. Okay?
If you're worried about hurting other things in an environment, and you're worried about the projectiles falling back to Earth, or whatever the name of that planet is, the best thing to use is a laser because it's not affected by gravity. So if you're shooting a sky whale, the light will just continue to go off into space.
And someone replies, I'm a gatherer. I gather souls.
Soul gems.
I don't know what that is, but I bet there's been an update because the next patch comes out on the 18th. So
it's out of meta and just no one will ever use it.
Hey, if my cat girl can mount a fucking laser cannon on her shoulder, I'm down for it. All right, so we should really wrap this up because we're just being random at this point. I do have a song for you guys this week. I'm going to put it in after we wrap up. It's really cool, very fun. It's by the Facebook user Hotter Dad.
Hot.
And it's titled Bernie Sanders Campaign Theme Song 2020 Mix. I retweeted it earlier, but this is the full 3-minute version that I had to do a lot of bullshit hoops to make sure to get the audio off of Facebook, because Facebook sucks ass. But it's a fun song. I hope you enjoy it.
Bernie Sanders also has a music album that you can download. I remember because I downloaded it in 2016 and it made me sad whenever it would randomly come on my audio.
Is it him being folksy with, like, a banjo or something?
It is folksy, but I don't remember if there's a banjo.
Okay.
But he recorded it, and, like, it's on vinyl, and, like, you can buy it on iTunes. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You could buy it on vinyl on iTunes?
I think so. What?
Is that going over your head, or?
Cassette tapes were on their way out when I was a child.
You can email the show at southpawscast@gmail.com. Feel free to call us a bunch of Bernie bros. It's fine.
I actually am a Bernie who is a bro.
Very true. Bernie's mountain dog.
Bernie's for Bernie's, man.
You can contact us on Twitter at southpawscast. You can join our Telegram group. There's a link in the show notes. There's a lot of people in
there. Telegram.com/southpawscast.
I wish it was that easy, but unfortunately, no. And I'm not going to, like, read out the, like, combination numbers, letters, and upper and lower case that is the join code. Go to our Patreon if you appreciate what we do on the show. Give us a buck an episode. It's like $3-4 a month. Cheaper than a cup of coffee. And you get this bullshit in your ear. Higher quality and a day early, at least. That's good. You should give us money. That's how we can buy Ajax a dog collar for Bernie.
Whack, 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 whack.
If we get enough, we can get a couple collar of leashes, too.
We could buy like four of them and like make our harness. Own harness.
Yeah. Really walk the dog. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch at Saverin. You can find me in Final Fantasy 14 on Brynhildr at Rafa Drake. I'm a kitty cat and I dance, 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 and I dance, dance, dance. Where can they find you guys?
I am on Twitter at SaintAjax33.
I'm on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You go to fuzzwolf.com. There's all kinds of other links there. Hashtag buy my books. Hashtag buy my books.
Yep.
Also, in a couple weeks here, we will be at Furry Fiesta. And we'll be dealing into the dealer's room. And we will have many books.
And woo signs.
And woo signs, yes. LED woo signs.
Those will be fun.
My project this weekend is building a shelf for them.
Nice.
Yeah. Get that acrylic
glued together. Later that evening. Fwomp.
Oh my god, they published it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk
about that in a minute.
He did an Indiegogo.
On that note, good night.
And buy books.
Okay. Socialism in his head. I can feel the burn. Yes! Bernie is here and he's ready to offer another way. Incoming equality is a thing he would like to change. Free healthcare in college for everyone. Yes, that is his aim. I'll share the pizza of prosperity, so please have a slice.
By bring it up, I mean discuss the myriad issues faced by our country and world right now. Aggressively point with those beautiful fingers. We can do this together.